Okay. So our new packets and the discussions that we'll have over the next couple of weeks are on the topic of Bechiras Yisrael, Hashem's choosing Klal Yisrael. The notion of Bechiras Yisrael is one that we stress a lot in our tefillah. For example, we say every day, Asher Bachar Banu, we call Hamim, and Asa Lanu Es Torah Sal, Ata Bachartanu, we call Hamim, as well as in the Torah. And it's not just fundamental, but it's a idea that is, I think, oftentimes misunderstood, and perhaps particularly important to discuss in today's day and age. Somebody once asked Rav Huttner, what's the most important theme or message that has to be stressed to the youth of today? And he said that the answer is Bechiras Yisrael. And if it was true then, I think it's certainly true today, where the idea is frequently under attack or misunderstood. And misunderstanding it can lead to, there's a danger on both sides. It could be misunderstood and denied, or it could be misunderstood and sort of seen in a way that's also false and also harmful. Parshas Shavua. Avram Avinu says to the Bnei Ches, when he goes to buy the Maris HaMachpelah, he says, Ger v'toshav anochi machem. So the Rav famously noted that the phrase Ger v'toshav is very strange, because Ger implies a stranger, an alien, somebody who's apart and separate, and Toshav implies a resident, a citizen, someone who's part of something bigger. And the Rav pointed out that Avram's definition of himself as having a dual status is something that we experience all the time living in a non-Jewish society. So on the one hand, he writes, he was a resident, like other inhabitants of Canaan, sharing with them a concern for the welfare of society, digging wells and contributing to the progress of the community, in loyalty to its government and institutions. Here Avram was clearly a fellow citizen, a patriot among compatriots, joining others in advancing the common welfare. However, there was another respect, the spiritual, in which Avram regarded himself as a stranger. His identification and solidarity with his fellow citizens in the secular realm did not imply his readiness to relinquish any aspect of his religious uniqueness. He was a different faith and was governed by different perceptions, truths, and observances, which set him apart from the larger faith community. In this regard, Avram, like his descendants, would always remain strangers. So, the Rav here writes about how at one time Avram was particularistic and at the same time universalistic. And this very much relates to the nature of Bechiras Yisrael. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us from among the nations, and what does that imply vis-a-vis our relationship and responsibility to those nations? How are we supposed to understand Bechira? And today, we're going to begin with a discussion of why. Why is it that we were chosen? Now, just before beginning, to make a couple of haros, as we study this sugya, we'll see that many of the Chachmei Masorah don't necessarily share certain presumptions that many in the modern world will take for granted. Probably next week, though perhaps this week, we'll start learning the Kuzari's approach on this topic, for example, and the Kuzari has been called a racist. And our goal is to try to present and explain their words honestly. It's not to be apologetic. and the like. We're trying to learn the sugya and understand what they say. And I think if we omit certain views, it'll take away from our goal of studying machshava in a topical way. The second thing I think, which is very important, and especially in this sugya, though always is true, is to avoid oversimplification. When it comes to the Chiyas Yisrael, oftentimes there are false dichotomies that are set up. Judaism is either particularistic or it's universalistic. Either we were chosen because of our inherent qualities, because we're metaphysically distinct, or because of some, or we're not, and there was some other reason. And so many others. And one will see is that a lot of times these dichotomies are not precise. And the approach of Torah can't simply be put into a box and characterized by one word. We'll especially see that in when we learn, again, probably not this week, but the Mahalach of the Rambam and the like. And there's certainly an aspect to Bechiras Yisrael that we won't be able to understand. We will try our best to understand the Torah and understand the Rishonim and the like, but we're not going to fully understand the topic entirely. Ray Carmi actually has an interesting essay on this topic in which he writes that when it comes to this sugya in particular, you have to embrace the mystery. He writes, the fundamental elements of our faith are too enigmatic to be explicated fully by one set of moral or philosophical considerations. This is certainly true for chosenness of the Jewish people. Thus, our tradition has not come up with a cogent, succinct formula that would capture with the singularity of the Jewish people, what the singularity of the Jewish people is all about. Because, like love, this singularity defeats rationalization. So we'll have a chance to try to understand what exactly he means here. But that's some points to keep in mind before we begin. So I think we'll begin with the question of why we were chosen. And this will also relate to the question of whether God could ever reject us entirely. Is God's love unconditional? Does it depend on how we act? And so we'll begin with a discussion of, from the beginning, I guess, when Avram was chosen to found the nation. If you take a look in your source sheets on the first page, the Rishonim, the Ramban, as well as Maharal and other thinkers pick up on the stark difference between the way in which Noach is introduced and Avram is introduced. With respect to Noach, the Torah emphasizes exactly why he was chosen for his mission. Ela told us, Noach is tzaddik, tamim haya bedorosav. Noach was chosen because he was a tzaddik, he was a tamim. We have no questions. Whereas, when it comes to Avram Avinu, the Torah does not tell us at all why God decided to speak to Avram among all the peoples of the world. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lach lecha me'artzecha mi'moladetcha mi'beis avicha l'artz asher araka, no mention is given why. It doesn't say, Ela told us, Avram ish tzadik, tamim haya b'dorosav, vayomer elokim el Avram, lach lecha me'artzecha mi'moladetcha mi'beis avicha, as it does for Noach. Which is shocking. So why is it that the reason for Avram's chosenness is not stressed? So the Maharal attributes this discrepancy to the different natures of Avraham and Noach, and specifically their missions. Noach was chosen to be a survivor, while Avram was chosen to found an eternal nation. Noach was chosen as an individual. He was going to survive, but not to found a nation. Avram's chosenness goes beyond him. It wasn't just about him, but it goes beyond him. And therefore, if it were to have stressed the reason for the chosenness, so that would imply that the chosenness is limited to that reason and dependent upon that reason. And should the reason no longer be true, then the Bechira will no longer be true. Let's take a look over here. This is from Netzach Yisrael. Aval lefi advarim asher amarnu lecha lo yikshiklau. Ki etzel Noach lo haya rak Bechira prati. Noach was chosen as an individual. Va Bechira pratit hu lefi mashehu. And that individual chosenness was dependent upon who he was. Va kol hu lefi maisa tzidku shelo. Aval be'Avraham lo haya Bechira pratis rak be'uma ha-Yisraelis. It wasn't just God's choice of Avram, but it was the Jewish nation, Shehem Zaro, Shehareksev, Ba'osa Bechira, Ve'escha L'gai Gadol. The very beginning of that Bechira, Hashem immediately tells Avram, I will make you into a Gai Gadol. V'zeh Bechira Klalis. U'Bechira Kamo Zos, Ein Tola B'maisa Klal. V'lo Bechait. Ki Amaisa Hu L'Prat. The Maisa goes beyond, or a Maisa relates to an individual, but Avram's Bechira was not about an individual, it was about a nation. It wasn't about him, it was about something much bigger. Avki bevadeh z'chus avos mo'il. Mikol makom ikar Bechira, Bechira klalas bo uvizaro. In other words, if it was just Hashem choosing Avram, then it would only be about Avram. Right? It wouldn't necessarily extend to his children. If his children continued to follow in his righteous way, so they too perhaps would enjoy that special relationship. If they didn't, then they would lose it. It was just about Avraham, then it's limited to Avraham. But because it was about V'ascha L'Gai Gadol, it was about something much bigger, so Mimela, by stressing Avraham's virtue, that would imply that it is limited to that virtue. And that would be false. Mikol makom ikra bechira bechira klalas ba'u v'zaro. V'al yiksha l'cha ma'shakasav lo b'tzidkascha taba l'reshes v'gomer v'l'ban hakim esadavar shenishbal avosecha v'vaday dvar zeh ma'shehevi oso ador l'haretz. In other words, again, there is such an idea of schosavos. Avram did something special, and because of Avram's extraordinary behavior, later generations benefit from that excellency. Aval ikar bechira shebachar Hashem yisbarach ba'Avram, lo haya bechira pratis, rak shebachar bo v'zaro acharav bechira klalis, v'lo haya bechira pratis, shebechira pratis ulefi ha-mekabel, v'mnishtana ha-mekabel, yishtana ha-davar, ulekach, Yeturetz Hasheila Shelo Hizkir Hakasav Tzidkas Avram Kodem Shenigle Alav Hashchina V'Amar Lo Lach Lecha Me'artecha Me'ladetecha V'chumer She'im Kach Hayamashma Shelakach Nigle Alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Amar Lo Lach Lecha Me'artecha B'Shvil Zchuso Shehizkir. Had it said his righteousness, so the implication would be because he is Tzidkos, so then Hashem said Lach Lecha. That would be Ava Teluya Bedavar. V'chol Ava Teluya Bedavar, Batal Davar, Batal Ava. So here he's telling us a very important point, which is the special relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael is rooted in Ava. And Ava transcends any particular reason. It's not just about the reasons. After all, if it is, then it's not true Avar. It's Tluya Bedavar, which is not eternal. It's not everlasting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham an eternal covenant, one that will last forever, which, by definition, can't be dependent on a particular reason, because if it was, well, the reasons might change. So how could that relationship be guaranteed? Lefikach, el bechira pratis yeshinoi. The law al bechira klalas. So when it comes to bechira pratis, like Noach, it's dependent upon reasons, and it could change and alter, but not a bechira klalas. V'kevan shelo nizkar tzidkas Avram kodem she'amar lach lecha lo hayazeh b'shvil tzidkas Avram. Now, to be sure, Avram Avinu as we read in the continuation of Parshas Lech Lecha, Parshas Yeh Vayeh, Parshas Chayei Sarah, Avram showed himself to be the greatest person ever to live. Until that point, he was extraordinary. We surely find all that out, and it's true. And it was true beforehand, also. Not just that God randomly decided to choose Avram Avinu. But had it said the reason, that would imply that it was dependent on the reason. And the Maral points out, another pasuk in Yechezkel highlights this idea. We say it every morning. Atah Hashem Elokim, Asher Bacharta Be'Avram, Ve'otzeisu Me'orkasdim, Esamta Shmo Avraham, U'matzasas Levavo, Ne'aman Lefanach. It seems to be going in order. First there was the Bechira, Asher Bacharta Be'Avram, then you took him out of Orkasdin, you made his name Avram, and then U'matzasas Levavo, Ne'aman Lefanach. In other words, the Bechira comes and takes place before Matzasas Levavo Ne'aman Lefanach. So again, these psukim are not meant to minimize Avram's early accomplishments. Rather, they're meant to underscore that the Bechira of Avram and his progeny was not just a function of Avram's moral superiority, but rather something much more fundamental. So again, we're not saying that it was random, it was arbitrary, it was void of consideration or value. Surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a reason why he chose Avram Avinu. But if the Torah were to say that reason or emphasize that reason, that would imply that it's dependent upon reason, which is false. Now what's so interesting here is, despite the biblical reticence as to the reason for chosenness, when we look at Chazal, we get the exact opposite impression. So the Midrashim graphically depict Avram's early righteousness, how he independently discovered God, how he was Moser Nafsho in Or Kazdim, how he brought so many people Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, that he was already the greatest person ever to live well before God ever spoke to him. Take a look, for example, at the Rambam, bottom of page 1, who eloquently presents this idea. He writes about how over time the name of God was forgotten as idolatry evolved and became ever more popular. And he continues in Halacha Gimel, Kevan, top of page 2, Kevan Shenigmal, Eitan Zeh, Hischil Eshotit Bedato, Vulkatan, Vischil Lachshov, Biyomu Valayla, Hayatamea, Hayach Efshar, Shia Galgal Azeh, Noig Tamid, Velo Yalo Manhig, Velo Yisavio. So Avram Avinu wondered how the sphere can rotate without there being some type of cause. As a young child, Avram Avinu started asking these basic questions. How could anything exist without there being some cause for it? Why do we exist? The Rambam notes how he continued to serve idolatry along with his family. But he searched and he groped and he looked for years and years and years until finally at the age of 40 he became certain of God's existence and then began to challenge those around him, debate them, and bring others into the truth, into the light. But again, how do we explain this very striking phenomenon where, again, in the Torah Shebichsav, the reason for chosenness is omitted? We said for a reason, because if we had stated it, that would imply it's dependent upon reason. But yet in Chazal, we have the exact opposite impression. We are told that Avram was chosen among all the people of the world precisely because of his greatness. And if that's not stated explicitly, that's certainly the implication by describing Avram's great behavior before he was chosen. It's interesting, we actually have the same pattern in Sefer Dvarim. In Dvarim, Parak Zayin, when you look at the Psukim seem to de-emphasize the reason for the Bechir of Kal Yisrael, again on page 2. Yam kadosh atal Hashem Elokecha b'chal b'char Hashem Elokecha lios lo l'am segula mikol amim asher al pnei adamah. So Hashem chose us to be the treasure nation, the Am Segula. Lo mirubchem mikol ha'amim chashak Hashem b'chem v'yivchar b'chem ki atam am mikol ha'amim. So we weren't chosen because we were many. After all, we're small. Ki mi'avas Hashem eschem u'mishamar es ha'shvua asher nishba lavoseichem hotzi Hashem eschem biyad chazakah v'yiftachem v'yis avadim miyad paro me'alch mitzrayim. So no reason is given. It's sort of saying, you know, don't think the reason is because of X. It's not true. It's because I love you. And I'm observing the bris that I made to the avos. But the pasuk is specifically not telling us the reason. Right? It's saying, I didn't choose you because I love you. I didn't choose you because of a reason. It's because I love you. Right? Lo mirubchem. Rather, ki me'avas Hashem eschem. So, if you're looking in this pasuk for a reason, something special about Klal Yisrael, clearly you aren't seeing that in the pasuk, right? The pshuto shel mikra, at the least, does not tell us that there's anything special about Klal Yisrael at all. It's Hashem loves us for some inexplicable reason, and he made a bris to the avos. If you look at Chazal on this pasuk, we again have the same pattern as we had before. Gemara Chulin. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishem Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Kol Makom Shata Motzei Dvav Shel Lazar Benosham Yosef Lili Bagada Sei Az Dechak Hafar Cheses Lo Merubchem Mikol Amim Chashak Hashem Bachem Am Rabbi Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Choshkani Bachem Sheafilu B'Shah Shani Mashpi Alachem Gedula Atem Mematin Atzmechem Lefanai. The pasuk says Lo Merubchem. What does that mean? What does that imply? That even when I bestow upon you greatness, you humble yourself. For example, Nasati Gdul al Avram, Amar Lefanai, Vanochi Afar Vaifer, Lemoshe Vaaron, Amar, Vanachnuma, Ledavid, Vanochi Tolas, Veloish. So Hashem says, I chose you because of your humility. Even when I bestow greatness upon you, you make yourself small, like Avram, Moshe, Aaron, David, Avalovdi Kochavim, Einan Kain, Nasati Gdula Nimrod, Amar, Hava Nivne Lanu Ir, Leparo, Amar, Mi Hashem, Lesan Cherev, Amar, Mi Bechol Elohe Aratzos, Lenuvucha Netzar, Amar, Ha'alel Bamase Av, Lechira Melech Tzor, Amar, Moshav, Elokim, Yashavti, Belev Yamim. So here we have the same dichotomy in two places, and the truth is there are many other places, but we'll look at two. With respect to the Bechira of Avram Avinu, so we have the Psukim de-emphasizing any reason, and Chazal highlighting reason. And likewise, when it comes to the Bechira of Klal Yisrael, the Psukim don't emphasize any reason for God's choice of the Jewish people. Nothing special about the Jewish people is stated. And yet we have Chazal finding in those very same psukim reason for the chosenness. So, how is it? What do we do in general when we see something like this? When we see a seeming contradiction, or at least an implied contradiction between the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaalpeh? So, we talked about this several weeks ago. Obviously, the wrong approach is to ignore the Pshuto Shel Mikra and just follow what Chazal say. But at the same time, obviously, we look to Chazal to understand Torah. And therefore, in a case like this, clearly we're meant to recognize that there are two aspects to our Bechira, two aspects, a duality, as it were, within Bechiras Yisrael. Chazal emphasized one element of our chosenness, namely God selected us because of our outstanding behavior, both as individuals, in the case of the Avos, and as a nation, in the sense of Klal Yisrael, whereas the Psukim stress that our selection transcends our righteousness. It's not limited to our righteousness. And they're both true. And there are these two aspects, these both true aspects, to Bechiras Yisrael. And you see this in many, many places. We'll consider a couple now. One is in the metaphors that are used by the Torah to describe our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. So one metaphor frequently used is that we are Hashem's children. B'ni b'chori Yisrael, banim atem Hashem Elokeichem. We also have the metaphor in which we're depicted as God's spouse. Again, in Yeshayahu, over here you have it. Kivo alayach osayach Hashem tzvakoshimo. your maker is your husband. All of Shir HaShirim relates to that spousal relationship. So, what's the difference between a parent-child relationship and a spousal relationship? So the answer is very simple. That when my relationship with my parent is inherent, it's not made based off of a choice. Child doesn't choose his parents. The parents don't choose their children. It's something that's beyond reason. Doesn't make sense. I don't love my children because of something that they did. It's something that's inherent. It's inscrutable. It's beyond reason. When it comes to a spousal relationship, so you choose a spouse. You're looking for certain things and you hope to find them. Now, of course, it shouldn't be Abba Tliya B'davar, and your relationship should transcend those reasons. It's not just because my wife did or is X, Y, and Z that I love her. But at the same time, there was a reason for our selection of each other. And the same thing is true over here. And that's, of course, the reason why when it comes to the parent-child bond, it's something that can't be broken. No matter what I do, I will always be the son of my father. There's no such thing as divorcing your parents because it's inherent. Because, like the Maharal said, if it's not dependent on reason, then it's not limited to reason. Whereas in a spousal relationship, because that's a choice that's made based off of reason, so should one of the parties or both of the parties decide that the reasons for their relationship are no longer relevant, or if one of the parties does not fulfill their side of the bargain, then divorce is possible. And that's why, on the one hand, because of the parent-child relationship, the eternality of our covenant is stressed. So, for example, in Bereishis Perek Yud Zayin, it says, "Vakimosi esbrisi veini uveinecha, uvein zaracha acharecha ledorosam levris olam." Hashem tells Avram Avinu that the relationship I'm going to form with you is a bris olam. It's an eternal covenant. It's one that goes beyond you and is guaranteed. Why? Because, like the Maharal told us, the choice of Avram is not limited to reason. We can't say that Hashem chose Avram because of X, Y, or Z, such that we could say, well, if X, Y, and Z is no longer relevant, then that relationship will end. Because the Torah didn't tell us the reason, it's not dependent or limited by reason. Rashi makes this point. He writes, over here you have it, V'ya l'cha l'Elohim, l'fisha davar diber l'cha, v'nishba l'avosecha shalo l'achlef ezaram b'uma acher, since Hashem has promised us not to replace us with another nation, l'kach hu oser eschem b'shvuos halalu, shalo taknituhu, so therefore Hashem makes us take these oaths so we don't provoke him to anger, because he can't separate himself from us because it's an eternal bond. Right? Rashi's saying because he can't abandon us, or he will not abandon us, so he has to chastise us. And that's why, of course, redemption is guaranteed at the end. So even, for example, in Parshas Bechukosai, after going through all of the Tochacha and the like, even after Bechukosai Tim Asu Mishpatai Tigal Nafshechem, we mamish abhor the Torah and we don't follow the Torah. So it's true, we'll suffer. V'avadetem bagayim v'achlaschem eretz aveichem. But ultimately, af gam zos biosam be'artzai veichem lo me'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chalosam la'afer b'risitam ki ani Hashem Elokeichem zacharti la mishrishonim asher tzeisi osam eretz mitzrayim le'ini agoyim li'os lahem le'elokim ani Hashem. So Hashem guarantees ultimate redemption because of this eternal bond. And there's so many psukim that emphasize this. Shmuel says, Ki lo yitosh Hashem esamo ba'avur shmo agadol, ki ho'il Hashem la'asos eschem lo la'am. Amos, if we have time today, I don't know if we'll have time, but Amos is one of the most fascinating examples of this because he frequently compares Klal Yisrael to other nations. But even Amos concludes, Hinei einei Hashem elokim ba'mamlacha chata'a vishmadati osa me'al p'nei adama Efes kilo hashmeid ashmid as base Yaakov neum Hashem. So that is a reflection of the parental bond, the parental relationship. But at the same time, we also have so many psukim that imply the opposite. So, for example, the Tochach and Dvarim sends the exact opposite message. Uvau alecha kol haklos ha'ela, urdafucha v'sivucha ad hishmidach ki lo shamata b'kol Hashem elokecha lishmor mitzosav v'chukosav asher tzivach. You read Sefer Dvarim, so it sounds like that Hashem will destroy us. Why? We didn't listen to His voice. Gam kol choli v'chol makeh asher lo chasuv b'sefer ha'Torah zos yaleim Hashem elokecha alecha ad hishmidach, because we sinned, Hashem will destroy us. So unlike the Tochach and Sefer Vayikra, the Tochach and Sefer Dvarim seems to end off without any assurance of redemption, right? The Pasuk Yeshayahu says in Perek Lamed Gimel, Nashamu Mesilos Shavas Over Orach Hefer Bris Ma'asarim Lo Chashav Enosh. So the Pasuk says Hefer Bris, he's abrogated the treaty in Malachim Beis. Vayim'as Hashem b'chol zera Yisrael Vayanem vayitnem biyad shosim asher shlicham mipanav. Hashem was mo'es banu, he rejected us, he's despised us. Yirmiyahu says, Gazi nizrech vashlichi, tear off your disdain and throw it off. Usi'i al shefayim kina, ki ma'as Hashem, Hashem has rejected you. Veitosh es doro evraso, and he's abandoned the generation of his wrath. And perhaps in the most frightening of psukim, we have Yirmiyahu in Perek Gimel, where the pasuk says, it's on page 3 of your sources, Lemor, Hein yishlach ish es ishto, ve'alcha me'ito v'aysal ish acher, hayashuv eleha od. If a person has divorced his wife, and she went and was with another man, so can he return to her again? Right? We know that's not true. The halacha is that the maaser grushaso, if a woman is divorced and she remarries, she may not return to her first husband. Halo chanov techanef haaretz hahi. If you do that, the land will be destroyed. Will be nechnaf. Ba'at zanis re'im rabim. And you who have had many affairs, you the Jewish people who have strayed after Avodah Zarah so many times. V'shuv elai ne'um Hashem. Can you return to me? Says Hashem. In other words, sounds like we've separated from God and we can't return. We're compared to an adulterous woman. Vayraki al kol odos asher niyafam mishuva Yisrael shilachtia. Now it says that when it comes to all the affairs that Yisrael has had, I've sent her away. Vetein esefer krisusa eleha, and I gave her bill of divorce. I gave Yisrael a get. Velo yara bogda Yehuda, and her unfaithful sister Yehuda didn't see. Vatelech vatizen gamhi, And she too went and committed adultery. Right? In other words, Sukkim sound like Yisrael was divorced, they were separated, they were cast off by God after having an affair. And Yehuda saw, and they didn't listen. So, while these psukim don't conclusively say that God divorced the Jewish people, and we'll maybe at the end, after we finish this point, go back and read these psukim carefully, but they do seem to leave open the possibility that he may. And certainly, these psukim reflect the spousal aspect of our relationship, which we said before, which is dependent upon our behavior and therefore subject to termination. Another place where you see this point, where the parent-child relationship reflects Hashem's eternal covenant with us, something that can't be destroyed, this diuk, as it were, from the child idea is made in the Gemara in Kiddushin on page 3. The Gemara says, well, let's read it. Banim atem Hashem Elokeichem. Bizman she'atem no'agim minag banim. Atem kuyim banim. Ein atem no'agim minag banim. Ein atem kuyim banim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we are banim as long as we act like children. But perhaps, if we don't act like children, then we're no longer banim. Remeir Omer, no. No matter what we do, we're always children. A child's always a child. Right? So even when we're sichlim, even when we're foolish, we're still as children. The omer, banim lo emun bam. They're children that are faithless, but they're still children. The omer, zerem mireim, banim mashchisim. Even when we're evil, but we're still banim. We're banim mashchisim, yeah, but we're banim. The omer, So the pasuk, the Gemara explains why there's a chiddush here in each of these examples. Each one of them adds an additional dimension. Tashma v'omer zemrim banim mashchisim v'chitem banim mashchisim hu demikru banim al yalo mikru tashma v'omer v'yab b'malkom asher yomar lohem b'ni ami lo ami atem yomar lohem b'ni al-chai. So according to Reb Meir, because we're his children no matter what. It's interesting because even though the pashtus, this is a question of agada, in which case we don't usually paskin, the Rashba and Atshuva says we paskin like Reb Meir. Next source, right? The context here is how to treat a mishumed. And he says, because of Reb Meir, well, again, if at the end of today, maybe we'll have a chance to talk a little bit about mishumadim, but the halacha is that, I'm sorry?
How did Rabbi translate mishumed?
An apostate. Bechla banim hu, kedivri Reb Meir, even a mishumed is a child. Like Reb Meir, we paskin like Reb Meir, b'sher li perikav de kiddushin. V'achad Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, lach Reb Yehuda. Usually we would paskin like Reb Yehuda against Reb Meir. Reb Meir, kray kadai. Look at all the psukim that Reb Meir brought to support his position. So what do we see? We're always his children. No matter what. So what are we saying so far? There are these two aspects to Bechiras Yisrael. There's the aspect depicted in Parshas Lech Lecha, that our chosenness is not dependent on reason. And that's depicted by the metaphor of us being his children, a relationship that's unbreakable and inscrutable, not limited or dependent upon reason. And then we have the second aspect of our relationship, the spousal relationship, depicted by our being Hashem's spouse, which at least conceivably, like the pasuk states, is subject to termination. It's not a stira. They're both true. Because our relationship is not just a parent-child relationship, it's not just a spouse relationship, but it's both. There are two aspects. And this, by the way, is expressed in the halacha as well. It's not just a nice agadic point. But you see this seeming stira in many halacha sources, just to take one. On the one hand, the halacha is that once a person is Jewish, they're always Jewish, they can never lose their Jewishness. Even if someone converts, the Gemara says in Yevamos, you have it in the middle of page 3, Tavav Allah, Reuk Yisrael L'chol Dvarav, L'may Hilchasa, Diyadur Bey, U'mekadish Bas Yisrael, Yisrael Mumar Karina Bey, the Kiddush of Kiddushin. Let's say a person converts. And then they chuck it. They go back to their original reason, religion. They reconvert to another religion. It doesn't matter. They're a Yisrael Mumar, but they're still a Yisrael. So therefore, Kiddush of Kiddushin. Even though a non-Jew who's Mekadesh, a Bas Yisrael, ain Kiddush of Kiddushin, you don't need a get. But this Mumar, Kiddush of Kiddushin. Why? Because once you're Jewish, you're Jewish. That's not something that could be lost. And this is reflected, of course, in the famous drasha on the Pasuk, Yisrael Afal Pishachata Yisrael Hu. The Gemara in Yoshua, after the sin of Achan, calls Klal Yisrael a Yisrael, right? Chata Yisrael. So the Gemara darshins in Sanhedrin, you have it again on towards the bottom of page 3, Chata Yisrael, Lam Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Afal Pishachata Yisrael Hu. Even though he sinned, he's still Yisrael. Again, maybe in a couple minutes we'll try to translate that a little more precisely. Amar Biaba, Hainu da Amar Inchi, Asa Dekai Beine Chilfei, Asa Shmei, a hadas that stands among the reeds is still a hadas. So that seems to imply that you're a Jew no matter what. A Jew's a Jew. At the same time, we have many halachos where we treat certain categories of sinners, and especially those who have rejected Torah, as non-Jews. So, the shechita of a mumar is invalid. According to many opinions, you could charge ribis to a mumar. The Torah's clothes that they write are burnt. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, on a number of occasions, mumar ke'akum l'chol davar. What does that mean? A mumar is an akum. It's like an akum, right? He's like a guy. It's like a guy. The halachos are like a guy. All the halachos in which a Yisrael and a guy are treated differently, we treat him like a guy. Not all, but many. You see this in other ways as well. The Rambam in his Hakdamat Perk Chelek, after writing what the Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna are, writes that anyone who believes in the Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna as part of Klal Yisrael, Mitzvah Lachiyoso, and the like, and anyone who doesn't believe in these Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna as a guy, it's not part of Klal Yisrael, Ein lo chelek l'olam haba. Right? It's true, Klal Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba. That's when you're a Yisrael. But someone who doesn't believe in these Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna isn't a Yisrael, Ein lo chelek l'olam haba. So which one is it? Rambam also agrees with the halacha that we said before, that after you've converted, you remain fully Jewish. Certainly someone born Jewish can't convert out, right? There's no way. Kiddush of Kiddushin. But yet, the Rambam also says that he's not part of Yisrael anymore. But if you look at the Rashi, by the way, on that Gemara and Bechoros that we said before, Rashi emphasizes, Hareyu ki Yisrael momer, v'lo amrina delehavi ovi kochavim gamor ki ilulon izgayer. Why is Kiddush of Kiddushin? We don't say he's like a total guy, Kilu alone is Gaia. But we're not saying he's fully a Jew either. So, what's the Yisod? So again, we could go ahead and, if we had more time, which we don't, look at each of these halachos and figure out why we say, in some cases, Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael hu, and in other cases we say, Mumar is ka'akum l'chol davar. Again, maybe if we have little time at the end, we'll go back to that. But fundamentally, the answer is that they're both true. They're both true. In one sense, once you're Jewish, you're always Jewish. And that Jewishness can never be lost. And that's a reflection of the parent-child relationship. It's true for individuals, Yisrael Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu, Kiddush Hu Kiddushin, and it's true for us as a nation. At the same time, there is this spousal aspect to our relationship. Our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent upon our acting like Yisrael. And when we don't act like Yisrael, we don't act like his children, like his spouse, so then then in a sense divorce is possible. We could say ka'akum l'chol davar. There's a very famous essay by Rav Lichtenstein on this topic, responding to the Brother Daniel question. That was a situation where somebody wanted to return to Israel based off of the law of return in order to missionize. Well, what is he? Do we say he's Jewish? Well, technically he's Jewish. Right? Israel, you know, Kiddush of Kiddushin. At the same time, he's not something that he believes in. It's something that he's rejected. Ultimately, the nature of our relationship, because it has this duality, is complex. Like we mentioned at the outset, it's something that's hard to understand. It's certainly hard to capture with one word or one idea. And Yadid Nefesh. So we say, Yadid Nefesh, Av HaRachaman, Mishoch Avdecha al Ritzonecha. In one sentence, we are compared to Hashem's friend, his Yadid Nefesh. He's our father, Av HaRachaman, and of course we're his servants. Mishoch Avdecha al Ritzonecha. It's not like any relationship with any human analog. It has all these aspects. On the one hand, it's based off of our behavior. It's rooted in reason. And on the other way, it's inscrutable and something beyond reason. On the one hand, it's dependent on our keeping up our side of the bargain. And on the other hand, it's guaranteed. They're both true. Like we said, it's complex. There's this duality. And when we look at every single aspect of the Bechiras Yisrael, I think we'll always find this duality. And perhaps in a certain sense, like we said before, we can't fully expect to understand it. It's beyond understanding. But at the same time, I think we have to try our best to understand it. And that's what Be'ezras Hashem will have a chance to do over the coming weeks. And now I just want to quickly go back to two points that are very interesting and important that we sort of glossed over try to understand them a little better. One of them relates to whether, in fact, Hashem did divorce us. If you actually look, the Rishonim deal with this issue extensively because, among other things, if you remember the Christians in medieval Europe, really until modern times, but especially then, emphasized the notion that God had abrogated his special relationship with the Jewish people. He'd rejected the Jewish people. Perhaps they were once his chosen people, but they're no longer his chosen people. They've been replaced by someone else. And, of course, we believe that's false. And if you take a look, for example, at the Ramban Sefer Ge'ula, that is the central theme of that Sefer, which is that possibility. But for now, let's just look at the Pesukim. So we saw before the Pesukim in Yirmiyahu, which again do imply that at the very least there's the possibility for a divorce because of the adultery, the Avodah Zarah that we've committed. But at the same time, we have other Pesukim that seem to indicate the opposite. The Pesukim we said before, the Bris Olam, the guaranteed eternal covenant, but also, take a look, for example, specifically relating to divorce, you see the exact opposite in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Nun, towards the bottom of page 3. Ko'amar Hashem, Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem, Asher Shilachtiha, Omi Minoshai, Asher Macharti, Eschem Lo, Hein Bavonoseichem Nimkartem, Uve Pishechem, Shulcha Imchem. So what does Yeshayahu say explicitly? Explicitly says, Eze Sefer Krisos Imachem, right? Where is the bill of divorce? I didn't divorce you. So the prophet Yeshayahu is saying that I have not divorced you. So you want to think of it as a stira between Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu, right? How do we explain it? Yirmiyahu says that there was a Sefer Krisos. Yeshayahu says that there wasn't. So, one possible answer is that when we look at the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu carefully, it states that he divorced the 10 tribes, Yisrael, and it says that he may divorce Yehuda, But it doesn't say that he did divorce Yehuda. He didn't carry out that divorce. And therefore, it's not a stira. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, I divorced Yisrael, I didn't divorce Yehuda. Relates to a general interesting question as to the return of the lost tribes, Bimos and Mashiach, and the discussion of that in Parakachelik and the like, but I guess we'll leave that for now. But there's no stira. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says he divorced Klal Yisrael, the 10 tribes. The pasuk in Yehuda says, Eze Sefer Christus, I never divorced Yehuda. Now, I don't think that's a particularly satisfying or comforting solution, because it still leaves open the possibility for divorce. It just says, Eze Sefer Christus, I didn't divorce you. But you could add to that. It's not just that he happened to do it, but Hashem will never divorce the Jewish people as a whole. Meaning to say, Yisrael, which is a part of the Jewish people, can be divorced. But as a whole, Klal Yisrael as a whole, represented by all 12 tribes, so then that's guaranteed. But again, I don't know if that's really sufficient, because, like the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, even Yehuda committed adultery. So the Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni, the bottom of page 3, addresses this question. Asida Knesset Yisrael Shetomer Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Kfar Kasavta Lemor Hein Yishlach Ish Es Ishto. So Klal Yisrael will say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't it say you divorced us? Right? Hein Yishlach Ish Ishto. And not only that, but not only have you divorced us, but once you've divorced us and we've been adulteries, so then you can't remarry us. It's over. It's usher. Amar la, Hashem says back to Klal Yisrael, Klum hichtavti el ish. It says, Hein yishlach ish est isha. When a man, when a person divorces his wife, then they may not remarry. Halo kfar nemar, ki el anochi velo ish. But I'm not a man, I'm God. The chigrushim atam li beis Yisrael, ko amar Hashem, Eze Sefer Krisos Imchem. Are you divorced from me? Doesn't the Pasuk says, where is that Sefer Krisos? Right? The Pasuk from Yeshayahu. So there's a beautiful drasha from the Beis HaLevi, Drush Yud Zayin, where he explains this idea, explains this medrash, and he basically sees in Hashem's response to us two things. Number one is that it only says a man, a person that's divorced his wife, may not remarry him, but I'm God. And second of all, I never actually divorced you, as the pasuk in Yeshayahu says. Now, why is it that God is different, right? What is different about our relationship that such that even if we've been divorced, even if we're adulterous, it does not terminate. So he says, because Klal Yisrael's Kedushas HaGuf, it's inherent holiness. Something that's inherent is not nitan to desanctification. L'mashal ma davar doma, the way the Beis HaLevi puts it, is B'Kedushas HaGuf yeshmo alach ha-mo'el. Right? The halacha is that in the laws of Kachim, in the laws of Me'ila, there's two, to overly simplify, classes. There's Kedushas HaGuf and there's Kedushas Damim. When it comes to Kedushas HaGuf, which is inherent, Yeshmal Achamoa, what does that mean? Even if I've done Me'ila on this object, the sanctified object, but we don't say that once it was desanctified, once it was Me'ila, then it's now Chulin. No. Yeshmal Achamoa, you can do Me'ila again and again and again and again, because it's inherent. Kedushas Damim isn't inherent, so once there was Me'ila, then it's, in a sense, desanctified. The possibility of Pidyon exists with respect to Kedushas Damim, and therefore it's possible. So the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael has Kedushas HaGuf, and therefore it's not nitan to end. The Maral says a very similar thing, addressing this question as well. He writes, very fascinating, since the initial relationship with Klal Yisrael was not one that was voluntary, but it was coercive, kafa lehem har kegiges, so then in that case, you could never divorce your wife, right? The pasuk says, "V'lo siya l'isha, lo yochol l'shalcha kol yamah." Right? Since the husband was ma'anes her, the man was ma'anes her, so mimela, he can't divorce her. And Klal Yisrael, Hashem coerced us at Sinai. He thinks that's one of the purposes of the coercion. Why was the coercion necessary? After all, Klal Yisrael already said, Nasa v'nishma. The answer is, this relationship had to be rooted not just in our Bechira, but in coercion to ensure its eternality. And that's how the Maral explains these two psukim. And in light of what we said, I think it really is very beautiful. We could explain that the pasuk in Yirmiyahu reflects the spousal aspect of our relationship, and the pasuk in Yeshayahu reflects the parent-child, the eternal, unendable bond that we have with Klal Yisrael. But it goes even further. In other words, precisely because we also have the parent-child bond, so mimela, the spousal bond, can't be broken either. It becomes eternal because it's not just a spousal bond. You see that idea very poignantly in Rashi's Hakdama to Shir HaShirim. Rashi writes, top of page 4, towards the top, Rashi writes, V'amar, V'omer ani, Shera'a Shlomo beruach HaKodesh, Shasidin Yisrael Galos Gola Achar Gola, Churban Achar Churban, Ulis onen begalos zeh al kvodam harishon velizkor chiba rishona asher hayus gula mikol haamim lemor elcha shuval ishi harishon. So Klal Yisrael is going to go galus after galus, and they're going to remember that love that they once had. Ki tov li az me'ata, was so great back then. He's going to look back nostalgically. V'yizkiru es chasadav es ma'alam asher ma'alu ves atovos asher amar laseis lahem v'acharis hayamim v'yasad sefer hazeh beruach hakodesh b'lashon isha tzrura almanos chayos mishtokikos albaila. What an amazing line, right? So all of Shir HaShirim depicts a woman. So she's an isha tzrura almana. She's a bound almana, right? An almanos chayos, a living almana. Mishtokekes al baila. So, in other words, you know, in halacha, there's no such thing as an almana chaya mishtokekes al baila, right? It's a stira. She's an almana, so then she's no longer married. But the idea here is that it's not just the spousal relationship we have. It's precisely because of that parent-child relationship that we remain attached. And perhaps you go even further. The Gemara says, "Gedol tshuva shedoch es lo sase shebetorah shenamar heini shalach es ishto v'alcha meito v'aisal ish acher hayashov eila ha'od." Right, the pasuk we just said. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that tshuva sort of is docha the lav. When we do tshuva, then that relationship, not just the parent-child relationship will remain, but the spousal relationship can be restored as well. Right, the other point I wanted to just say at the end, but we don't really have time to get into it, is the topic of Yisrael Afal Pishachata Yisrael Hu. I'll just make a couple of haros and then we'll have to stop. First of all, it's interesting. The way I translated it before isn't really precise. If you look at Rashi and Rabbeinu Hanano, Ralbag, Betzudas David, they all say that Yisrael Afal Pishachata Yisrael Hu means even though the people have sinned, they're still called Yisrael. Meaning to say that even after Achan did what he did, the people as a whole don't lose the title Yisrael. Which might have taught you to think that it's not relevant for the individual, right? How do we know that Yisrael Afal Pishachata Yisrael applies to an individual, the way Rashi reads the Gemara? But what's interesting is there are a bunch of tshuvos in Rashi, you have them at the bottom of page 4, we won't read them, who writes based off of this Gemara, Yisrael Afal Pishachata Yisrael Hu, that a Jew always remains Jewish. So, with respect to get, that's the context of the first tshuva, the second tshuva you have here relates to chalitza, the third tshuva over here you have relates to ribbis, And it's very fascinating because the Rashi in these Tshuvos doesn't turn to sort of the halachic Gemaras as a source for this idea, like we saw before, the Gemara Yevamos and Bechoros, but rather this more agadic Gemara, perhaps to show not just that it's true, but to help us understand the reason why it's true. Now, it is interesting because though we said that we presented as Pashat that a Jew is always a Jew and his Kiddushin will always be Kiddushin, there is a view, it's quoted by the Tur, this is in some Gaonim who say it's not true. Right? If you take a look over here, the Tur and Simon Mem Dal and Mem Ha'ezer, the Yeshom, Mem Demomer Lachal Shabbos Farahasev, Lavod of Oz Kaycha, Mem Dino Ka'akum Gamor, Ve'en Kiddushif Kiddushin. But Velo Nehira, the mainstream view, normative halacha, is that that position is wrong and that Kiddushif is always Kiddushin. It is very interesting. There's a famous tshuva from the Marashdam who tried to argue in favor of this opinion in the Gaonim, and this has totally been rejected. Here you have a tshuva from Rav Moshe, a tshuva from Rav Tzitz Eliezer, and others, all of whom absolutely reject this view, and we hold that it's not true, that an individual can never lose that Shem Yisrael no matter what they do. One interesting and last hour to think about, the bottom source on page 5, but we don't have time to talk about it as well, that might be true for individuals. Is it possible that for a larger group of people they could lose their Jewishness? The discussion over here is about certain sects of Jews and the possibility of their losing their Jewishness. Lo zazum mishama cha'asom ovdei kochavim gemurim. So that's an interesting discussion, but again, the fundamental point that we wanted to say today is this idea that there are these two aspects of our relationship, one dependent upon reason, one independent upon reason. But because of one, so then no matter what, our relationship is guaranteed. But at the same time, when we're trying to think about Bechira, we have to understand that this is not something that we could ever expect to fully understand. Have a good Shabbos.